V-Town, brother, check it out. I'm by the, hey, welcome in. Lowdown Friday edition. Friday before a long weekend, too.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's going to be 187.
Give or take a degree.
188. I think once you get above, 110, 180 all feels the same.
Man, brutal.
You're not going outside. Again, welcome into the show. We appreciate you for being with us, especially since so many of you are probably leaving work right now. Jason Ross, Damian Barling. If you missed the first hour, a lot of talk about Ezekiel Elliott. We spent a lot of time talking about the NFL, a little bit about the preseason there. Le'Veon Bell's back at training camp, by the way. He hasn't signed his tender, at least as of the time the show started at 12 o'clock. He hadn't signed the franchise tender yet, but according to sources close to the Pittsburgh Steelers and sources close to Le'Veon Bell, say that's just some there's just some I's that need to be dotted before he signs that.
Yeah, and we kind of, I don't want to say, well, we did predict it. Like, he'll be there.
Just yeah, of course.
Kind of get through the camp.
And yeah. He wasn't required.
When he needs to.
When you're a franchise, when you're on that franchise tender, you really don't have to be there.
That's right.
You don't have to sign that franchise. You sign it as soon as you walk in. Boom. You can't be fined a dollar.
Yeah.
Simple as that. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. John, welcome in.
Good afternoon. How are you guys today?
Excellent.
Good. Before I ask you my sporting question, I just had to say that I give you, Damian, a lot of credit for coming out and saying that Will Smith got you into rap, because I'll be honest, I did love Big Willie Style. That was a really good CD.
There you go. All right, there you go. I'm a little bit before Big Willie Style, but I like it. I like it.
Well, but still, you know, my thing when I got into rap, it was more of, it's not even the popular names like, you know, Tupac and Biggie, but it was more Dre, Run DMC, and then, it, you know, for me, it was even, because I'm, you know, from Sac, I mean, it was West Coast, it was, I mean, Twista, Andre Nicotina, stuff like that got me into it, but, and I think Eminem, when he came along, he pretty much shut Will Smith down, and Will Smith didn't have any rebuttal for what he had to say, and I haven't seen a Will Smith CD out in a long time, but regardless of that, I'm sorry, today, I haven't been able to tune in much this week, and I'm sorry for tuning in late today. I'm sure you guys have already addressed this. I don't think it's what you guys have been talking about today, but I just didn't hear your guys' opinion since the Cavs and the Boston trade was finalized. I just didn't know what your guys' thoughts were.
Well, we'll get into that right now, John, and we appreciate the call, man. Okay. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll get into that right now. Yeah, so it was finalized yesterday. You were out handling business with the Sac State Hornets football team, and the deal was finalized. Kyrie Irving is a member of the Boston Celtics. He was introduced today, along with Gordon Hayward. You'll hear from Kyrie Irving here in just a couple of minutes. Isaiah Thomas, now a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Their report came last night that, I think this was according to The Ringer, LeBron and Ty Lue, and I quote, cooled on the Isaiah Thomas trade when they found out Isaiah could miss a big chunk of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The Athletic had said today, no one is willing to put a timeline on when Thomas might return to the court. The fact he isn't running yet certainly is not a good sign. One source with experience dealing with the type of hip problems Thomas is facing predicted it could be January or even the All-Star break before Thomas returns to game action.
Well, I don't think that's a disaster. It's also not ideal, right? You want to get comfortable with your new teammate. He's going to be a big part of what Cleveland's going to do. But in the end, as far as the kind of the holdout for either one, the trade not happening or getting a lot more, what'd they get, an extra second round pick? So it wasn't like the game of chicken produced that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it all told, I still like the haul. I like it for both teams. I really do. But I like it for Cleveland. And I got to believe that Isaiah at some point will be back and fully functioning and being the all-star type guard that he is.
He said he will.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be the same exact player. This isn't the end of me. I'm injured now, but I'm not going to be injured forever.
And Cleveland showed us, too, that I don't know if they sleptwalk through the season, but they were not good for the second half of the season. And didn't seem to care. Didn't seem bothered by it. And maybe Boston gets away from him. Maybe Washington gets away from him a little bit. They come in as a 3 seed, 4 seed, 2 seed. Who knows where they'll end up. I think ultimately in the end they'll be okay. You want some time, though. I wouldn't want it to be much past the All-Star break for Isaiah if it's that long.
Simply because you want to get him on the floor.
Yeah, and some reps.
With
the new group.
Get some run with LeBron. Mm-hmm. Get some run.
Figure out matchups, group. Or not matchups, groups that you like him with and guys that can play well with together, those kind of things.
I was telling Charles yesterday, this is one conversation between Coby Altman and Danny Ainge, or one conversation between general managers that I really would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, because I can't figure out what the tone of the conversation was. Like, we speculated, is this going to be the greatest game of chicken in recent sports memory? Because Kyrie wants out of Cleveland. Boston wants out of the Isaiah Thomas business. They had some unpleasant things get out about Isaiah Thomas after they thought the trade was done. Obviously, we know the story with Kyrie Irving, and it's like, okay, who needs to complete this the most? You mentioned it was, you know, we're talking about a second-round pick, what, 2 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 years from now, I think. 2020? Is that what it was? So, you know, we didn't get much out of that, but why? Did Coby Altman know he was probably being a bit unreasonable by asking for a Jaylen Brown, or, you know, one of the young kids that they got, are asking for another first-round pick? There was speculation maybe they got Brooklyn's pick, or they got the pick that belongs to the Brooklyn Nets, which is going to be a very high pick. Were they going to go after the pick that belongs to the Boston Celtics? Were they going to go after one of the other picks that Boston has traded for? Or did Coby Altman know he was being totally unreasonable in that request? Or did these two teams just stare at each other and threaten to walk away?
Right.
We'll leave this. And I'm still not clear as to what the ramifications were if the deadline passed. I speculated that if the deadline had passed, other teams would have been able to get involved, and, you know, they would have had to restructure the deal. There was a rumor. Zach Lowe wrote about the Bucks.
Yeah, they threw some names out there, right?
Once the Bucks heard what the Celtics gave up, they wanted to get involved, but it was a little too late. If we had hit the Thursday deadline and Kyrie was, you know, for lack of a better term, back out there on the market, then what would happen?
Yeah, that's where Cleveland kind of needed that story out a little quicker, the Milwaukee leverage, mm-hmm. because then it's like, yeah, I know we don't want Kyrie to come back, but we've got other people that are interested, and this deal's pretty good too.
Yeah.
So, Boston, what else are you going to give us?
Yeah, it's something Chuck kept saying yesterday. The blueprint was laid out
mm-hmm.
during that stretch. So you want Isaiah, a draft pick. Now, the thing we kept going over is that no bad team wants to give up their draft pick. Boston is in such a unique position to be a really, really good team.
With a bad championship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Kyrie Irving was introduced today along with Gordon Hayward in Boston to the Boston media. And, you know, he was asked about, has he talked to the king? Because that's a thing. When teammates split, we got to know, do they still talk to each other?
Yeah.
The kid. Did the kid talk to the king?
Right.
That guy. He talked pretty glowingly about number 23. And were there any problems between Kyrie Irving and his Cleveland Cavaliers teammates, particularly LeBron James? Any thoughts on that?
Well, there's something there.
Well, there's a clip that I don't think we have. They spoke for a while. Let's play one more. Kyrie Irving talking about coming to Boston now. There's a word that he used earlier in the press conference, and he said, I want to have fun. And again, with situations like this, for us, it felt like it came out of nowhere, right? Kyrie wanting out of Cleveland felt like it came out of nowhere. So he used it a couple of times, though. I wanted to have fun. I think we're going to have a lot of fun here. And it made me think, like, okay, you went to three finals in a row, but you weren't having fun there. And we've heard about LeBron James. You know, we know about the subtweeting. We know about pictures. And there's a message in everything he does. And, hey, the kid was nothing but great for, or whatever he wrote on that Twitter post. I wonder if it is simple as that. He just wasn't having fun in Cleveland. He didn't enjoy being around the type of leader that LeBron James is.
And if that's the case, I think that's a little bit parallel to the approach Kevin Durant had. He's having a good time, or I say mm-hmm. successful time mm-hmm. in OKC, and felt the environment, the culture is always the word we use, but it was just a different way about it that the Warriors did it. Yeah, they were a better team. That's part of it. But I think since he's very at peace with his decision and likes the way that organization does things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is run differently, and clearly the Warriors have something figured out besides being a great team, but they do things really, really well. And they have created an atmosphere that allows the players to be successful, but have some fun, coaching staff, all that. I think he likes that environment. And I don't know if that's what's going on in Boston, but it seemed like, in Kyrie's words, it's not happening in Cleveland.
Right.
So he wants a different look at it. And I think he'll be considered the best player on the Celtics. And he wasn't considered the best player on Cleveland, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so he gets a little bit of both of what he was kind of looking for. To maybe a little different environment, but certainly to be maybe considered the man, even though he's got some good teammates around him in Boston.
He's so soft-spoken in the way that he talks. He's very measured when he talks. Mm-hmm. He's very composed every time he speaks, whether it's on social media or whether it's on, in a press conference setting like that one was. And when I hear him talk, he doesn't strike me, even not just his tone, but the words that he uses. He doesn't strike me as a guy who feels like he needs to be the man, mm-hmm. which is kind of one of the things that has thrown me so much about this. And I know we've tried to dissect what he meant by having his own team. Mentioned that I took that to mean he wants to be able to run the offense himself, not necessarily that he wants to be the man. But I do feel like there's an important aspect of that part of having your own team, being the man to him, mm-hmm. which is strange because he doesn't come across as that guy. Maybe he just doesn't want to play with a personality who's as dominating as LeBron James. Maybe it doesn't have to do with skill level or who's considered the best. It's just his overwhelming personality. Everywhere the Cleveland Cavaliers go, everywhere Cleveland goes, it's about LeBron.
Yeah.
Is LeBron playing tonight? Is LeBron not playing tonight? Kyrie scored 50. Okay, great. What did LeBron do? Did LeBron hug him afterwards? What did he do before? How many assists did he have? Did LeBron play that game that he had 50? How many assists did Kyrie have when he scored 50? You know, it's always going to be dissected based on LeBron James. And that can probably be smothering.
Oh, I'm sure. And I think not only what the outside perception is, but I'm sure internally we've heard reports that, you know, LeBron's got the run of things with his mm-hmm. his group.
The
right?
organization, the city, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't blame the organization for doing that. I mean, LeBron came back. He's been the most important part to that organization for years. Was a big part of why they won a championship, and he's been allowed to do a lot of things that, you know, apparently some of his guys have been on the plane and different things that not everybody else gets the same kind of treatment. So,
and those are things that I don't think Kyrie's going to get in Boston.
But no one else is either, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and those things can kind of wear on people a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Perception. I mean, it's like, wait, I'm an all-star. I'm a young player. I'm a point guard. People think I'm a top player in this league. Where's my love?
I'm Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
I got endorsements.
Mm-hmm. I got a popular shoe. All that
Very
kind of stuff.
Popular. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what it'll be like for him in Boston. He's good thing for him. He went to a really good team. He'll be an important part of that team. They should be very successful. I was concerned for him, not that, you know, it's his choice, that he might end up in New York
mm-hmm.
or Phoenix or a lesser team.
Or he would have had to have been Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it's like, all right, go for it. Westbrook's a pretty special player, but in the end, he's going to be a special player that's not going to win a title, and maybe Westbrook's fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyrie's already tasted the other part, and it'd be interesting when you're not experiencing finals trips if you then go, man, I'm watching this on TV. Last 3 years I was in this.
Yeah, he's 4 years removed, 3 years removed from
being a 20-win team.
Yeah.
That's not
the start is exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be battling for the number one overall pick year after year after year, or do you want to be battling for the number one overall team in the league year after year after year?
Now he won't have to worry about that part. I mean, Boston should be good, but
sure. Yeah.
And we'll see where they go.
How good?
That's a good question. I mean, they're right there, I think, to compete in the East, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, absolutely. And they were last year. I mean, they're certainly not worse than they were last year.
Right.
The question is, are they we can do over-unders from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. We could do over-unders from Sports Illustrated in terms of win totals. We can guess our own win totals. The only over-under that matters is, will Boston win 4 out of 7 games in the playoffs? That's the only stat that matters.
And in the past 2 years, they have actually played the Warriors very well. Now, the group's different, though, so it's harder to, you would think, adding Kyrie and Hayward, that's a good step, certainly in Tatum. But the makeup's changed a little bit, so we'll see.
You probably lost your toughest player.
Yeah.
I know Marcus Morris is there, and he's like a tough guy.
Smart's kind of tough.
Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate tough players from, like, tough guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I don't think they're the same thing.
Right.
And, like, I always thought Joakim Noah was a really tough player. Mm-hmm. But
that was the knock, and they may have gotten softer, may have, or just
I think
tougher.
It's fair. If Crowder was their toughest player,
mm-hmm.
that's fair.
Right.
Because you're going to ask Markieff Morris to
Marcus
Morris to fill that role? Ugh.
and Hayward and all these guys. I mean, they're good players, but you know, where's the rebounder?
Anybody.
Where's the tough guy? Where's the lockdown defender?
Go back to the same word Sean Grandy said. No one's intimidated by us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I don't know that anyone is intimidated by you mm-hmm. by now, but we haven't played a single regular season.
Yeah,
so we'll see. Alabama and Florida State's tomorrow. You're talking about we're talking about stuff in the Eastern Conference that probably doesn't matter in the end, because we could talk about, okay, well, is Boston better than Cleveland now? Is Cleveland still better than Boston? Why is Washington figured to be so low? What is Washington missing to compete with those two? Toronto's still lingering around. What can they do? But in the end, once we get to the Golden State Warriors and we incorporate the Western Conference, we're still talking about the Warriors winning another title, right?
Right. You think? Yeah.
I think the favorites heading into this NFL season are the New England Patriots.
Have to be. Defending champs, same team back. Yeah.
We got a number one versus a number three coming up tomorrow, Alabama and Florida State University. Some people think those are the two best teams in the country, despite it's a 1-3 and not a 1-2. Warriors, Tide, Patriots. Which one of those three is most likely to lose this year? Because I think they're all I mean, if Alabama comes out ranked number one, they're all favorites. They're all favorites. Which one of those is most likely to not win a championship this year?
To me, it's between the Patriots and Alabama.
It has to be.
Because it's one-game situations. Warriors would have to be defeated four times somewhere along the line. It can happen. Not predicting that compared to the others. Alabama?
You form that as a question.
Yeah.
You're not confident in that.
Alabama.
That was a little firmer.
That would be the one I would feel least confident about. And I'm not sure why.
I thought for sure you were going to go with the Patriots. Just because it's really difficult to win back-to-back championships in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back Super Bowls. And
they did lose a player, important player, but they overcome.
Well,
that.
They did last year too.
True.
Hell, they lost two of them at one point.
Right.
Between, you know, Brady wasn't there for four games. Gronk was gone for a chunk of the season. Every time we talk about college football, I feel like we need to be reminded, especially here at the start of the season. Alabama didn't win last year.
Mm-hmm. They're right there, had a chance. Last second score by Clemson.
We saw a whole bunch of redemption tours last year.
Yes, we did.
Alabama was on the receiving end of that redemption tour from Clemson. Tide could be going on their own this year.
Yeah.
Just as North Carolina went on theirs, like they very well could be. We've got to get this back.
I feel like Alabama, where they are, their perception, their status amongst college football would have to lose three games to not be in the Final Four.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Tomorrow can be bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
They can recover.
Mm-hmm.
They can lose another one. They can probably recover. Are they going to lose three times? Now, they might, but
they would essentially have to lose. Wow.
And if you win tomorrow, you almost, I mean, it. I don't want to say you could lose three, because that's not going to be the case, but you're so far ahead of the curve if you win tomorrow, too.
It would be, I'm trying to think of a scenario, the SEC West, which is the side of the SEC that they're in, would have to be a total disaster for them to lose twice and still get to the title game.
Yeah.
Because I figured they would, in order to not make the playoff, they'd have to lose twice during the regular season and then lose the conference championship.
Yeah, and maybe the one way they could do it is if they lost once later, a little bit later, and then lost in the conference championship game. That would be a second one late.
Mm-hmm.
That might hurt them. But they want them there. You want Saban there.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
It's college football.
Yeah.
Unless you got four undefeateds in there.
You got a bunch of pro players on there. You want to showcase them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the Patriots, though.
Okay.
Because, one, what I just said about Alabama being on that redemption tour, so to speak, and I feel like the NFL is still the most unpredictable of all of the – I mean, look at the Falcons last
mm-hmm.
year. You didn't have the Falcons there. Nobody had the Falcons there.
Nor the Panthers the year before that.
We thought the Raiders were going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But like 9 wins good or 10 wins good, no one thought they were going to win 13 games or
12, yeah.
12 games last
Cowboys,
year.
Cowboys, no one thought that many
no.
wins. Especially with Romo out. Oh, man, this is trouble.
There's always surprise teams in the NFL. So we only need one surprising outcome for the Patriots to lose.
Yeah.
Or for the, you know, for the Patriots to be that team that doesn't win the championship out of those three. We'll continue. NFL cut day is tomorrow. And why the Lakers tampering penalty? It's actually, now that we've given it some thought, it's actually dumber than we originally thought it was. That's coming up as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Slow down here on this Friday. Thank you so much for being with us, Jay Ross, D-Lo. You want to jump in here on the phone lines? We'd love to hear from you. I'm sure many of you are leaving work nice and early, getting ready to start your three-day weekend. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can get us on the text line at 44-1140. Parking lot is cleared out over here at the KHDK studios.
Isn't that, the email always comes out. What does they say, 3?
2.
Oh, it's 2?
Yeah, 2 o'clock. There's actually more cars here than I would expect.
There's three, but there's three cars here out of this window, which probably means there's three total.
Yeah,
but it is 1:30, and it's been three for a while. So
there's probably 7 people in the building, and like 5 of them are over here on this side. Yeah, 6 of them are over here on this side. I'm sure that's the case for a lot of you where you may be working at. Again, if you want to jump in on the phone lines, we'd love to hear from you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You missed, as you were covering your Sac State Hornets yesterday, no upset yesterday, by the way?
No, 24-point dogs. You know, here's how good Vegas is, by the way. The point spread, allegedly, you know, for this game was 24.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, it dropped to 22.5. I don't know if people are betting on the Hornets,
I guess. You know what was fantastic is when the show started, I had mentioned that you had said that there were 24-point. We got a text that said, well, actually, it's down to 22 now.
Okay, so people knew.
Who the hell is somebody gambling on this? Yeah. Like, who is watching this?
So if they got 22, it's really interesting, but I guess it was 22.5.
Maybe that's usually,
they lost by 22. So they covered.
That is extraordinary.
How good are those guys?
Well, that and that's what
on a game that hasn't happened, first game of the season, playing up. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
That's why I love, you know, when we did those win totals the other day from Vegas. It's like, Vegas is pretty
those
damn
numbers are right on.
Stuff.
Can I push? I mean, yeah, all of them are right on.
Yeah, if you told me that the Kings were going to win, they were 28.5. If you told me they were going to win 28 or 29 games, yeah.
That's the number.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. You didn't get to chime in on the Lakers, and your boy, one Irvin Magic Johnson, hashtag thanks Magic, being fined. Actually, it turns out it wasn't Magic. It was Rob Pelinka.
Okay. I didn't know if it was the organization or whatever.
Well, the organization was fined $500,000, but the reasoning wasn't about, as we speculated, the Jimmy Kimmel incident. Mm-hmm. It was apparently Rob Pelinka had reached out to Paul George's representatives while he was under contract with the Indiana Pacers. And the fine was $500,000, and we spent a great deal of time, or not a great deal of time, we spent some time discussing whether that was an appropriate fine. If it wasn't, what would be? Before we continue, $500,000 for tampering.
On the list of the things, remember when there was talk about they could lose their pick, they could lose any chance to negotiate with them in the future. I mean, all these different things.
Right.
In the end, to that organization, drop in the bucket, right? Not much of it. I mean, it's still a good amount of money, but they'll cover that. I just still, we debated when it happened. Like, what is tampering? Why are we concerned about tampering? He's a former agent. Well, and he's front office now. I just, what are we doing? What are we looking at here? And who else is guilty of whatever they're accusing Pelinka of? How many other organizations are guilty of this?
That's exactly what I was thinking about last night. How stupid. Like, what could Rob Pelinka have done that the NBA was able to investigate and prove, okay, look, you can't do that? Not only that, this was the second time. They were warned. That's another thing that came out in this conversation, in this report that was put out a couple of days ago, that they were warned about talking to Paul George's representatives. So they were essentially fined for the second time that they did that. Are they sending, like, emails to, like, Paul George's agency saying, hey, PG-13 to Lakers, ? Like, what are they doing?
What's getting him caught?
Yeah. Because we all agree. This happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Whether it's with players, which we know because that happens pretty openly, or whether it's with agents, general managers, whatever it may be, we know that this happens. How the hell did Rob Pelinka and the Los Angeles Lakers get caught twice?
Yeah, some sort of paper trail. You're right. Emails, what is it? What is it that the league felt compelled enough to have the evidence to say, yeah, come on, guys, $500,000. What you're doing is different than the way the other guys are doing it. Because we know the other people are doing it. These contracts that are signed minutes after free agency technically, wink, wink, opens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They haven't talked to anybody in that time, right?
Again,
or when anybody, you know, to me, Vlade's job is when, I don't know who's a free agent this summer, but if that team comes this next summer, comes into Golden One this year, I don't know if you're asking him directly, hey, you want to be a king, but just like talking, getting some information,
mm-hmm.
finding out a little bit more about somebody so that when that opportunity comes, but in the sense, you're getting intel.
That's what your players are for.
Right.
You use as Chris Carter would say, have a fall guy.
Sure.
You want to find out about Paul George? He's a free agent next year. You want him to come to the Sacramento Kings? Okay. Who on your team has a relationship with Paul George?
Yeah.
I don't know. De'Aaron Fox went to his basketball game. Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Great. Send Vince Carter out there to find some intel on him.
I wonder, like, they would even bat an eye if it was Jaeger, would they? Or would they? Not the Kings, but, like, the league.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Because it's a coach.
Yeah, but he just could be, you know. Whatever.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Because coaches don't negotiate contracts.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Hey, we're running the system. You'd be a really good fit here.
I feel like they can't because I feel like I've heard them skirt that topic before.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, players can.
Mm-hmm.
Just coaches and front office personnel can.
Yeah.
Rob Pelinka hasn't. Again, think about this. Twice. He's been caught twice.
Yeah.
Fined once, caught twice. He hasn't had the job that long.
Right. But he's been on the other side of it as an agent as opposed to kind of a front office official.
Oh, that explains a lot. No, that explains a lot.
I mean, a different realm of doing this.
Think of how many times Pelinka probably initiated these conversations.
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you think about, like, let's say, hypothetically speaking,
yeah.
if my player is a free agent next year.
Yeah, what number are we looking at?
What do you think?
Yeah. How's that look for him in L.A.?
Do you have room to sign him and say, oh, I don't know,
yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony, who player right. X, do you have
yeah.
room to sign both of them? I'm sure he's initiated many of those conversations.
Sure.
I guess he doesn't know that he can't initiate those conversations anymore. He has to let them be initiated.
Or just not get caught.
He had to have sent emails. That is the only logical explanation. He had to have sent emails.
CC, Adam Silver, what are you doing?
Right.
That's the wrong guy to CC. Yeah.
You CC Larry Bird is what he did. He's like, hey, just want to keep you in the loop, Larry.
Yeah.
We're going after Paul George here.
Yep.
So
sweet in the pot. Yeah.
So strange. NFL cut day is tomorrow, 1 p.m. our time. The rosters will be finalized. Some 30 players roughly per team will be cut. A couple of players that have already been cut. We mentioned Ronnie Hillman, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys. We weren't sure where he was going to fit on the depth chart. Well, we know now he's not going to fit on the depth chart. They got a rookie that they like there, along with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
49ers cut Matt Barkley. I don't know what to say about Matt Barkley.
I wasn't impressed when they signed him. He hasn't – I mean, when you're thinking the offseason, Hoyer and Barkley, that's where you're going with? Not that Kaepernick and Gabbert were
well,
amazing
were
tandem.
Well, they were super successful in Chicago together.
Right.
If I recall.
Hoyer's been okay under Shanahan so far, mm-hmm. but – you know, Beathard's done some nice things and a few other guys there. But, again, their quarterback of the future is maybe in college right now or in
Washington.
Playing with the Redskins, yeah.
I can't wait for – oh, I think the final three cars have just pulled out of the building. It is
– 139, I lost the bet.
It is dwindling here. It is dwindling here over at the home of KHDK. I know you hate Matt Barkley. We'll put Matt Barkley in the you hate him category. He wasn't good in college, was he?
Oh, no, he was pretty good. I hate to admit it, but he was pretty good. He had some really good talent around him. That team was good.
How come it didn't translate?
I don't know. I mean, he was all everything, like high school into college.
He was the next great USC quarterback.
Right. And he was really good, had great numbers there. They won a ton, but it just, I don't know. I didn't see a, he's good arm strength, not great. I don't know what I would say he was. He wasn't super mobile. I don't know. He just was, I don't know that he stood out above anyone else. And what he seems to me is a backup quarterback.
You think he gets picked up?
Yeah, maybe somebody looks at him, but it's interesting if Shanahan's not interested.
Yeah.
Because he usually makes something out of some of these guys.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit telling to me.
So who's their third string quarterback now?
I don't know if it's, do they keep Beathard? Was it the other one that was doing so well?
Oh, maybe. Well, I mean, they still have 24 hours right to decide who they're going to keep, so I guess it'd be foolish for me. Mark Sanchez is on the roster somewhere as a third-string quarterback, right?
Chicago, right?
Oh, it's Chicago.
Yeah, Glennon and Trubisky. And
that's right.
Yeah. And some teams opt to keep three. Some, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Some don't. I mean, when 53, that's a pretty precious spot.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll keep him around.
Yeah. But yeah, because I think the thought there was, let's say Glennon gets hurt. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, we have Trubisky, but are we ready to do that? And they might be, but that's, I think, the reason to have a guy like Sanchez in camp.
There's a couple of other notable names that we'll touch on who may be cut tomorrow, and could they wind up anywhere else? We'll tell you who they are. And also, the Astros just got better. That's next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Your girl keeps paging me. I think every Friday we should just play music.
It's fine by me. Except for we got football now.
Oh, that's right.
We got some games.
And there'll be games on Thursdays, too.
True. So next Thursday, first one. NFL, at least.
Yeah. Patriots, Chiefs, yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't wait for the – I'm so anxious to see Foxborough. I'm so anxious to see the reaction to Roger Goodell. What Roger Goodell's reaction is to Foxborough.
Yeah.
And how good are those two teams in week one?
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, we were talking about preseason game four. Doesn't mean, you know, just if you look at every box score yesterday from all the guys that played, like, whoa, who are some of these guys? But, like, Mahomes played, and he was actually pretty good. He had some throws. That's when, you know, I've been talking about how Alex Smith, to me, doesn't make enough of the big plays, like the plays that some quarterbacks can make.
Yeah, you hate Alex Smith.
Okay, or that. Mahomes threw a couple of balls yesterday. You went, all right, I know why they like him. His arm strength is incredible. Yeah. But, I mean, Alex Smith is far more poised, experienced right now. Mahomes can be a guy, though. He looks like he could be someone.
Why do you hate him, then?
I don't hate him.
44-11-40. Don't worry, guys. The more people that leave the building means less witnesses to see you drinking beer. Who brought the beer?
Chris.
Chris probably, almost certainly, definitely did bring the beer. Whenever you guys play rap music, I always picture Jason Ross breakdancing. Jason Ross is a hell of a dancer. I don't know why you picture him breakdancing. But
I used to be a breakdancer as a kid. Wanted to be, yeah. Had the pants and everything. Cardboard.
Did you really have the cardboard?
No, you know what? That's not true. I wanted cardboard. I mean, I could have used cardboard, but we had a nice wood floor that I would just, in the kitchen. Yeah. Practice my moves.
Could you bust out a move, like, right now?
Like, what kind of move?
A breakdancing move.
No, like nothing, like, great. No, not something that would really
did
embarrass
you pop
myself.
Lock and...
And drop it?
West Coast pop locking? Did you do that?
Like, rerun from Good Times?
Yeah, kind of.
From What's Happening?
What's Happening, yeah.
No, I tried. How about you? You probably did. Or were you
breakdancing?
Or were you behind? I mean, I was, like, in that time of breakdancing.
Yeah, breakdancing was a little bit after, what was a little bit before me.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't, no.
You had a jumpsuit.
Had?
Well, have, too.
Yeah, I still got
But, I mean, did you have one then? I know you have one now. You have a romper.
Easy.
Kind of.
Well.
Confirmed?
Confirmed.
Okay.
But didn't purchase it. Not the same.
No,
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, but you only wore it here to show you could rock it.
I did.
Have you worn it any other time?
No.
Will you?
I.
To a party?
Can't envision myself ever wearing it.
Okay.
No.
Because the picture will be out there.
But it'll be out there. But I'm telling you, I said I could pull it off, and I believe that I did. Yeah. And I convinced the other side of the building.
And they agreed, right?
Adequately pull this off.
Okay.
Well, at least the women did. The guys thought I was freaking mad.
Well, that's all right.
I don't know.
But the people that question you, you prove that you could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So you won.
Yeah.
1-0 Damien.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
That's right.
And
so
they
you don't have to wear it again.
They probably look at it 1-0 us because we got that idiot to actually put a jean romper on.
But no pictures, right, that we know of?
Nope. Okay. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware
of. Not. Yeah.
Let's certainly hope that there aren't any out there.
Just for our next photo shoot for our website, you and I. You could be in the romper and I won't be.
Okay. If I wore the romper, would you wear a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the old school like LL bucket hat.
Oh man. You gotta find a big bucket.
We'll get you a nice dookie rope chain.
Okay.
All right, I'm down. That sounds like a hell of a photo shoot.
What color would my jumpsuit be?
Well, I mean, it would have to be some sort of blue and gold, wouldn't it?
Oh, now we're talking.
See?
I may not change out of it.
See? There it is. I'm always looking out for you.
All right.
I'm always looking out for you. The 1140 Street Team, that'll be the greatest photo shoot in the history of this company.
I think we have an idea.
Yes, we do. Yep. The 1140 Street Team, sponsored by Loyal Roots Apparel, will be at Pick and Pull tomorrow. Maybe we can find you a jumpsuit there. Come find the 1140 Street Team for awesome prizes from 12 to 1 p.m. Pick and Pull, 6355 Pacific Street in Rockland. A couple of notable names to watch out cut day. Again, we mentioned you'll be seeing a lot of names. We mentioned Ronnie Hillman of the Dallas Cowboys. We mentioned Matt Barkley of potentially your San Francisco 49ers. Here are a couple of other names that might be on the chopping block headed into the deadline tomorrow at 1 p.m. Brock Osweiler.
I thought I saw something here, but I can't confirm it yet. But, yeah, definitely watch out for that one.
On Brocky Top?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll keep our eye out there on is the NFL really going to give up on Brock Osweiler already? I mean, give me a break. The guy stands for the national anthem. Give the guy a chance to play.
Good point right there.
Geno Smith. Apparently, he lost the backup quarterback job in New York. Oh, man.
There are some bad quarterbacks.
Geno Smith. Here's one. Jamal Charles. You think Jamal Charles might not make it for the Denver Broncos?
I thought he was going to be okay, but that, you know, you're coming off the injuries and – but what is it, C.J. Anderson and Booker and a couple other guys there in Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought he'd be in the mix.
Absolutely. There was a conversation, I think, being had whether Jerome Kearse was going to make the final cut tomorrow. Now I think that conversation's out the door as he's been traded.
Right. So, and by the way, multiple people now, Brock's out.
Wow.
Including Chris Landry. A few others have stated it, so.
Yikes. All right.
So. What a wild offseason for him.
He's getting paid $16 million, by the way. He does not care if he gets cut because he's getting $16 million.
Right. But he does want to play.
Or something like that. I think it's around 16. No, I'm sure he does want to play. He's going to get picked up. I don't think anyone's going to give up on him. I don't think the league as a whole is going to give up on him that quickly.
Yeah, he was in a good spot before when he was behind Peyton. You know, it's like, it's not your job. Peyton's the guy. Like, if he was behind Breeze or Rodgers or something else, it's like, well, we're not going to use him, but if – we have to. We will. But, boy, that's a rough one.
I thought I had read something about T.J. Ward as well, safety for the Denver Broncos. He may not survive tomorrow. I think that could be an issue that boils down to contracts, guaranteed money and things like that. D'Angelo Hall, another safety there in Washington. Kyle Fuller, cornerback for the Chicago Bears. Eric Winston, offensive tackle. Like, less sexy names with the big one. Brock Osweiler out there on the market. We'll see who picks him up.
Did you guys also mention yesterday, I know, I'm sure you did, but what did you think about Hayden?
Going to the Steelers?
Hayden, yeah.
Made sense.
Or leaving the Browns, yeah.
Yeah, well, leaving the Browns, yeah. Going to the Steelers, I think, made sense. It stays in his division. I was concerned as the early reports came out, the two teams that were probably going to make a hard push for him were the Saints, which, you know, whatever. I can't imagine why he'd go there unless he wanted to be in New Orleans or they offered him a whole bunch of money. But the other one was Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the last thing that Oakland Raiders need is for a division rival secondary to get better.
Right.
Because they're already going to be limited what they can do during a football game. If preseason and last season is any indication, the last thing you want is for another – you know, Kansas City's defense is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Joe Hayden had been on that team, they probably would have elevated past good. Not into Denver Broncos territory, but I wouldn't have liked them to have to play Denver twice and that Kansas City defense twice.
I wonder if Cleveland being so willing to do this, though, is there any red flags there?
It sounds like just a financial thing. I can't remember what the full, was it 20, I feel like it was $27 million was his contract. I don't know what was guaranteed, but I know he was getting a guaranteed $7 million in the first year, which is what Cleveland asked him to take a pay cut to. He was supposed to make 11.1. They asked him to take a pay cut. He said no. He's getting $7 million. The big difference, though, is he's getting $7 million from the team that almost certainly is going to win that division and could contest for this appearance in the Super Bowl. Whereas getting paid $7 million by the Cleveland Browns when you're supposed to get paid $11 probably has an entirely different taste.
Yeah, exactly.
Reese Hoskins is going to join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll give you latest updates on all of the stories going on in sports, and we're going to kick off the third and final hour of the Lowdown. Reese Hoskins coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes. Stay put. It's the Lowdown on Sports 1140.